You're constantly inundated with articles, research, news. Sometimes it feels like pure information overload.
Oh, absolutely. It's hard to keep up.
But what if you could cut through all that noise, get right to the core insights, and truly grasp a complex topic?
Yeah.
Well, in a flash. That's our mission today.
Exactly. We're taking a deep dive into a highly technical piece of academic research.
Okay.
A paper titled Pathwise Uniqueness for Stochastic Heat Equations with Holder Continuous Coefficients. The White Noise Case. It's by Leonid Mitnick and Edwin Perkins, published in Probability Theory and Related Fields.
Reno, don't let that mouthful intimidate you. Our goal here is to unpack the crucial questions this research answers. Mm. Questions about predicting unpredictable systems and why this idea of uniqueness is so vital. We're offering you a shortcut, really, to being well-informed on a cutting-edge area of mathematics, stuff usually reserved for specialists.
Let's do it. So maybe we should start with what we're actually modeling here.
Good idea.
The paper is all about stochastic partial differential equations, or SPDEs for short.
SPDEs.
Right.
Conceptually, these are mathematical models. They describe systems that change over both time and space.
Okay. Time and space, like temperature changing across a metal plate.
Sort of, yes, but with a key addition. They're also significantly influenced by random factors, what mathematicians call noise.
Ah, noise. So we're not just talking about predictable changes, but unpredictable, almost chaotic elements thrown into the mix.
Precisely. Like your example of a leaf falling, there's gravity, sure, but also gusts of wind, random swirling. That's the stochastic part.
Got it.
And the paper tells us these equations naturally pop up when you look at systems where individual unpredictable events scale up.
Scale up how?
Think of particles branching or multiplying randomly. The paper mentions this specifically. Scaling limits of critical branching particle systems. These tiny random events aggregate to create larger complex patterns.
So like tiny fluctuations in a stock market suddenly becoming a trend. Or maybe population dynamics? Exactly. Population dynamics, fluid flows, financial markets, anywhere. Randomness plays a big role at the micro level and influences the macro behavior.
Okay, so these equations describe systems with inherent randomness. But then the paper focuses so much on uniqueness.
Yeah.
If a system is random, why does knowing the solution matter? Wouldn't there be lots of possible outcomes anyway?
That's the core problem they're tackling, isn't it? When you're modeling something unpredictable, just knowing a possible outcome often isn't enough.
Why not?
Well, for real-world prediction, for reliability, you often need to know if there's one specific determined outcome. That is, given a particular starting point and the exact same random input.
Okay.
That's the concept of uniqueness. And the paper digs into two crucial types.
Two types.
Yes. Uniqueness in law and pathwise uniqueness.
Okay. Uniqueness in law versus pathwise uniqueness. What's the difference there? For us trying to grasp the implications.
Uniqueness in law is, let's say, the weaker form. It means if you run the system, the experiment, many, many times, the overall statistical patterns will be consistent. The average behavior, the spread of outcomes, that kind of thing.
Like knowing a coin flip will average out to 50 over a million flips. You know the stat.
Exactly. You know the statistical likelihood, the distribution, but you can't predict any single flip's outcome based on that alone.
Okay, so that's uniqueness in law. What about pathwise?
Now, pathwise uniqueness is much, much stronger. It's a tougher condition to meet.
Stronger how?
It means that if two solutions start at the exact same initial state.
Okay.
And crucially, they are subjected to the exact same random noise. Think of it like an identical sequence of random events hitting both.
Like the same series of coin flips applies to both runs.
Precisely. Then those two solutions must follow exactly the same path over time. No divergence, no alternative routes. They are identical.
Wow. Okay, that is a huge difference. That sounds like actual prediction.
It's much closer to what we intuitively think of as prediction, and the paper stresses why this matters more. Well, they mention that uniqueness in law might be known for some cases, maybe using techniques called duality arguments. But, and this is key, those arguments are often highly non-robust. They might break easily if you change the setup slightly.
Okay. Fragile.
Yes. Pathwise uniqueness, on the other hand, they argue, if true, would typically hold for a much less restrictive set of coefficients. It's more stable, more reliable.
So it gives you more confidence that your model actually reflects the reality for that specific random input, not just a possible reality.
Exactly. It offers much more reliable and broadly applicable predictability for these complex systems. Think about climate models or disease spread. Mm-hmm. Randomness is everywhere.
Right.
Pathwise uniqueness gives us the mathematical bedrock to say our predictions aren't just one possibility among many, but the determined path, given the starting point and the noise. That's a game changer.
Absolutely. A huge leap in reliability. So yeah. Pathwise uniqueness is the goal. What was the specific mathematical hurdle they tackled in this paper to get there? You mentioned coefficients, Holder versus Lipschitz.
Yes, that's central. The paper notes that if the coefficients in the equation, these are terms often called sigma and b, that define how the system reacts to the noise and other factors.
Right.
If those coefficients are Lipschitz continuous, then pathwise uniqueness is actually well known. It's standard stuff, relatively speaking.
And Lipschitz means just smooth and predictable.
Think of it like that, yes. Very well behaved. A small change in input leads to a predictably small proportional change in output, like a nice steady slope on a graph.
Okay, so Lipschitz is the easier case. What makes Holder continuous so much trickier?
Right. The tricky case, which this paper dives into, is when the coefficients are only Holder continuous. It's a weaker condition than Lipschitz.
Weaker how? Still smooth, but...
It means the relationship is still continuous, maybe even smooth-ish, but not as uniformly smooth or predictable across all scales.
What?
Things might change more sharply or gently, depending on where you are.
Ah.
And specifically, in their equation, the random influence part, the sigma, is Holder continuous with a specific index, gamma, that needs to be greater than 34.
Gamma greater than 3/4. We'll come back to that.
Oh, yes. But this slightly rougher type of smoothness makes proving uniqueness much, much harder.
And on top of that, there's the white noise challenge, right? What's that about?
Right. White noise is like pure, unfiltered randomness. Think of static on an old TV.
Okay. No pattern at all.
Exactly. No correlation over time or space. It's mathematically very challenging compared to, say, colored noise, which might have some statistical structure, some memory or pattern, however faint.
So it's the hardest kind of noise.
Pretty much. And the authors point out that previous methods developed for colored noise just didn't work well for white noise. They didn't come close to the known results on pathwise uniqueness for Lipschitz continuous coefficients.
Which suggested,
in their words, room for substantial improvement, a gap needed filling.
Okay, so tackling the toughest noise with less than perfectly smooth coefficients. Quite a challenge. And then there's that curious observation you mentioned earlier about the original motivation.
Ah, yes. It's fascinating. They mentioned a motivating example, those critical branching particle systems we talked about.
Right.
In those systems, the coefficient often involves the square root of the local particle density. But then they explicitly state, the motivating example given above does not satisfy this condition.
Meaning the gamma 34 condition.
Exactly. The square root function corresponds to a gamma of 12, which is not greater than 34.
So, wait. They solved a major problem for a whole class of equations, but the specific problem that got them thinking about it still doesn't fit their solution.
Precisely. It's a wonderful illustration of how science works. Their work is foundational. It pushes the boundary significantly for equations with R34. But the original specific problem that sparked it with RDNS12 remains open under these specific conditions. Progress is often incremental like that.
That's incredible. Humbling, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so they made this huge leap, even if the initial spark remains just out of reach for this method. Let's get into how they did it. The elegant approach, that phrase. Solutions must separate in a gentlemanly manner.
Yes, it's a fantastic intuitive description.
What does it mean?
It captures the essence of their core technique, which is an infinite dimensional version of the Yamada Watanabe argument.
Okay, a known technique, but scaled up.
A very powerful one in stochastic calculus, yes, adapted for this infinite dimensional setting. The gentlemanly separation idea is this. Imagine two possible solutions starting incredibly close together.
Almost identical starts.
Right. The argument shows that the equation structure, the rules it follows, forces these two solutions, if they were to separate, to do so only in an extremely controlled, very slow, very well, gentlemanly way.
Not suddenly jumping apart.
Exactly. And the punchline is that this required gentlemanly behavior is so restrictive, it actually proved they can't separate at all. They must remain identical. Mm-hmm. Any potential difference just gets smoothed out immediately.
That's really elegant. The constraint itself proves the identity. Okay, and this gentlemanly behavior, it hinges on that magic number, gamma greater than 34. Why that fraction?
The criticality of 34. This is where their deep analysis really comes in.
Okay.
They explain that previous attempts, sort of naively translating results from colored noise settings,
where gamma 12 worked.
Right. Translating that to white noise led to needing gamma 1.
But if gamma is often less than or equal to 1?
Exactly. It was a vacuous condition. It didn't help prove uniqueness in the interesting cases. It told you nothing useful for gamma between, say, 12 and 1.
So they needed a finer tool.
Precisely. They needed, as they put it, more refined information on the difference between solutions, especially when that difference was tiny, near zero. They had to zoom right in on those points where divergence might just begin.
What did they find when they zoomed in?
Their analysis, which involves looking at how smoothly the solution changes in space, its spatial derivative, showed something crucial. For their gentlemanly proof method to actually work, for it to successfully rule out separation,
yes,
the solution needed to behave in a very tidy way near these points of near zero difference. Almost like being mathematically very smooth, even if it isn't strictly, say, twice differentiable in the classic sense.
A certain level of mathematical good behavior.
You could put it that way. And their calculations, even heuristic ones they sketch out, suggested that achieving this necessary level of tidiness, this required smoothness near zero.
Only happens if.
Only happens if gamma is strictly greater than 34. That fraction marks the precise threshold where their proof technique gains traction, where the gentlemanly separation becomes mathematically enforceable.
Wow. Okay, so that specific fraction isn't arbitrary at all. It's deeply tied to the mathematical machinery needed to prove uniqueness in this tough white noise setting.
Exactly. It's the critical point where the method works.
So they developed this elegant approach, found the critical condition. What were the big results, the powerful outcomes?
They established several key theorems. First, theorem 1.1 gives the proof of existence.
Right. You need to know a solution can exist first.
Absolutely. Under their conditions, the growth conditions, Holder continuity for sigma with sec authority 4, Lipschitz for B, they proved that solutions to this specific stochastic heat equation do exist. That's step one.
Okay, step one. Solutions exist. Then the main event.
And the main event, theorem 1.2, the proof of pathwise uniqueness. This is the breakthrough. Given those same conditions, if a solution exists, it's the only one.
The unique path.
The unique path. If you know the start and you know the exact random noise track, the system's evolution is uniquely determined. That's huge for reliable modeling.
Invaluable, I'd imagine, for any field using these kinds of models. Physics, biology, finance.
Definitely. It provides that crucial assurance of predictability.
And there was a third theorem, theorem 1.3.
Yes. Theorem 1.3 sort of ties it together for application. The combination of existence, SIM 1.1, and pathwise uniqueness, SIM 1.2, allows them to prove stronger results.
Now what?
They prove the existence of strong solutions. That means a solution isn't just some abstract entity. It's directly tied to or adapted to the specific random noise process driving it. You can trace the noise's influence directly onto the solution's path.
Okay, so the randomness is explicitly part of the solution's definition.
In a sense, yes. And they also show joint uniqueness in law for the solution and the noise.
What does that mean?
It means the whole system, the evolving solution, plus the random forces acting on it, has a single, well-defined, probabilistic story or character. For a given start, there's one unified statistical picture.
That sounds incredibly comprehensive. Existence, uniqueness of path, and even uniqueness of the overall probabilistic behavior.
It's a very solid foundation they've built.
Okay, so let's recap this deep dive. We've seen how mathematicians tackle this incredibly complex challenge. Predicting systems riddled with randomness. We explored the crucial difference between just knowing a possible outcome, uniqueness in law, and knowing the only outcome for a specific noise input, pathwise uniqueness.
And why that pathwise uniqueness is so much more powerful for reliable modeling.
Right. And we learned how the specific smoothness of the random influences captured by that Holder condition, and specifically that critical gamma value needed to be greater than 34.
How that becomes the absolute key to unlocking robust predictability in these seemingly chaotic worlds, especially with challenging white noise.
It's amazing how a subtle difference in mathematical smoothness has such profound consequences.
It really is. And this research, it isn't just abstract math, is it? It's about providing the fundamental tools, the guarantees, that ensure the models we use for complex real-world systems are actually reliable.
From particle systems to climate change to financial markets, making sure the foundations are solid.
Exactly. It's about the precision and reliability of the models we build upon this bedrock.
And they don't just stop there, do they? The paper leaves us with a look ahead.
That's right. They offer a conjecture, an educated guess for an even stronger result, but this time for equations driven by colored noise, not white noise.
Okay, what do they conjecture?
They propose a condition involving both the Holder exponent gamma and another parameter alpha related to the colored noise. The condition is ASH221.
Which looks complicated.
It does, but they point out you can rewrite it as ASH12 plus ASH4. They suggest that if this condition holds, pathwise uniqueness might also hold for those colored noise equations.
So they're pointing the way for future research, potentially lowering the required smoothness, gamma, needed for uniqueness, if the noise itself, alpha, has some structure.
That seems to be the implication. It shows that even after a major breakthrough like theirs, the quest continues. Science keeps pushing those boundaries.
Always more questions to answer. It's a powerful reminder that solving one big problem often just reveals the next layer of complexity. So a final thought for our listeners, what other complex, seemingly chaotic systems out there might actually have unique, predictable paths hidden within them, just waiting for the right mathematical lens, the right elegant conditions to be discovered?
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? This deep dive really highlights the profound insights and predictive power that can emerge from rigorous, fundamental scientific inquiry.